Bob Joseph. Today is Monday, September 8th, 2025. Now stand by for America's very best radio program. WNBF. What'd you think of that intro?
It was okay.
Oh, hold on. Oh, already not okay because of technical difficulties. First thing out of the show.
It was okay.
Not true, but
no
attention getting.
Yeah,
promised a lot and delivered a little, but
well, that's kind of normal for us.
Business as usual, anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for coming in.
Oh, it's okay.
So it's Bob and Jerry. It's like it's almost like a Saturday cartoon show without the laughs.
Yeah.
Well, we have some laughs.
We have the laughs. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's better than most of the cartoon shows.
Well, yeah. I mean, at least we're not just drawn on paper.
Well, we're not pushing sugary cereals.
Well,
hey, kiddies, go buy some sugary cereals.
We could.
Go ask your mommy and daddy to go buy out some, you know, frosted sugar bombs. Although you should, if for the kids listening,
I'd like to try that.
Ask your mother or father to,
because you know, brings some, the energy level up.
Yeah, some fentanyl laced Kellogg's. Oh, Kellogg's.
Well, I don't know if I'd want to try those.
Kellogg's, no.
It's
probably a store brand.
That could be a real pain. Actually, it would be a painless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your last meal. It's like, what happened? Well, I was
I tried some cereal.
Eating these fruit-flavored nuggets.
I put
at first, they thought it was red dye number 3, and it turns out it was just somebody inadvertently. When they thought they were putting in red dye number 3 and blue dye number 12... they accidentally mixed in some fentanyl. And anyway, we're kidding, kids.
Don't do that.
If your parents give you some cereal, send it to the lab.
Yeah, there you go.
So here's, I was driving around last hour because due to operational requirements, they didn't let me stay on the air between.
That's why I didn't hear you on my radio coming in.
We heard Gary and Ike
talking about catching baseballs.
And about, I think Ike was reminiscing when he was working at a Buffalo station, some pinhead stole his Christmas CD.
Well,
I was like,
sounds like our show.
Kinda.
Yeah.
At least our show has a point. Now, there's at least that hour. See, we're trying to judge their comedy hour just based on
our comedy
snippets.
Hour.
Yeah.
You know, well, our informational, historically based comedy.
Okay.
Hour. Yeah.
So anyway, I guess, I never formally introduced you.
Oh,
you are,
who am I?
America's most beloved historian, Gerald Smith.
You're absolutely correct.
Now in charge of the history of Tioga County.
That's right. I used to be in charge of Broome County, and now I've taken over Tioga. I'm moving next to Chemung. I'm just going to keep going west.
Moving west, young man.
Yep, until I get to the Lucille Ball statue out in western New York.
Jamestown.
Yeah. Not the scary Lucy.
Oh, by the way, the reason, in case people are wondering what's going on here, Jerry and I, we're out of ideas. We have nothing.
Yeah, got nothing.
So
nothing.
What we decided we would do is give the phone number twice to see if listeners have any history ideas. Otherwise,
help us, folks. Please, well, please
help us. You know
what?
It doesn't, and this sounds self-defeating. I don't want people to think that I don't care. Wait, somebody's calling. Wait. Did I even give the number?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to give the number two times.
Okay.
And because we don't have any real ideas about history. We're tapped out because we've been doing this for too long. We've covered all the history things we can think of. 607-772-1290. Again, operators are standing by. If you have some idea about local history that Gerald Smith and Bob Joseph can discuss.
Yeah.
Good morning. You're caller number one. Congratulations. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm really getting scared of this operator.
You can sense just from the first 5 minutes, this is going to be a show unlike any other.
Oh, yes. And Sir Jill Smith is in the house.
That's right, Jesse.
That's right, Jesse, from Owego. Right. So, anything new in Owego? Did they ever confiscate the chickens?
Oh, that's still chicken gate. I don't even know if I want to go there. I think we have another caller.
Yeah, no, I don't want Marty on my case. If she hears me talking about the chickens, you know, there'll be There'll be trouble, I bet.
Well, we could talk about the cow.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't hear about a cow.
What happened to the cow?
Well, I'm still trying to figure out. Allegedly, it's accurate. I was on vacation, and when I got back to the museum, they told me that somewhere in Nichols, a cow wandered out onto the highway and got hit.
A cow.
This was on Facebook, so it must be true.
Well, sounds like something Janine Pirro must have been involved in. So it happened near Nichols.
Well, the cow, the cow was holding a glass of wine in its hoof.
And it had a little bumper sticker on its backside that said, enjoy Fox weekend hosts.
Now, as I heard it was two young men in a car. I don't know what time of day this was or what day it was, if somebody would inform me. And it went up and then crashed onto the roof of the car, destroying the car.
It was on 17?
Yeah.
Really?
Now, this was on a Facebook account, somebody's story.
Somebody sent me.
Oh, that's really moving. Somebody that's utterly scary. Oh, sorry. That's a nice Holstein.
Yeah, but somebody texted that to me.
Okay.
And I didn't know who it was. I eventually found out who she was who texted it to me. I only found out yesterday.
All right.
But I got that texted to me like last Thursday from a number that's unfamiliar to me. And I'm like, why would somebody send me that?
Yeah.
Isn't that offensive?
It's I can say things, but I won't.
No. No. Don't say what you were thinking.
No, I won't.
But so somebody sends that to me, and I'll tell. Here's the thing that's. Oh, Jesse, are you still there?
Oh. Yeah, I'm still hanging out.
All right. So do we think that Janine Pirro was involved? Because
no.
She wasn't involved, right? Because I don't want to have to call her boss and throw her under the bus that she may have been involved
This would be throwing her under
cow
the cow
fiasco. Yeah. I mean. She may have been speeding.
Now, this could have occurred, but I didn't see it on any news stations or, Jesse, you didn't hear it on like WEBO or any of those
Yes, I did. And last I heard.
Wait, it was on the radio? It was on on Dave Radigan's station?
I'm not going to say where I heard it. All I know
heard
is
it on CB. Channel 19. Breaker 19. Hey, Jesse. Breaker 19, we're going to have ourselves a convoy.
I can't do that anymore. Bill Flynn will shun me forever. I can never say that to him anymore.
You did hear it on a Owego-based station?
Yes, and they said they're still looking for the owner of the Holstein. That's the last I've heard, so I don't know where it went from there.
I'm sorry, folks. How can you lose a 1,500-pound animal and not notice it?
And besides, they're valuable to boot. They're big, but they're also, I'm just thinking about the financial loss to the owner. If true, we don't have any independent corroboration, but the internet's never wrong.
No.
Well, was the cow killed or was it injured?
As far as I heard, it was killed. Hmm. I mean,
Well, then right there, you just said it. It had to involve Janine Pirro.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't. In fact, I dispute your contention that Janine Pirro could have had anything to do with this. In fact, ever since she got that speeding ticket from New York State Police on that Sunday afternoon, I believe that she has decided to live a very lawful existence when she travels through Tioga County. I think she learned an important lesson.
Mm.
You know what, Bob? You're the one who brought this up, and then you asked.
I know, and then I thought better of it because I thought they can hear the show.
So we'll blame you, Jesse. That's right.
I thought better of it because it occurred to me after I accidentally brought it up that they could be listening in D.C. using the WNBF app.
Yeah.
And then I think, Janine Pirro is listening and probably her boss is listening because, of course, they love the show. And then she's going to say, you can squish him like a tiny bug, Mr. President. And he'd be like, but I don't want to waste my time with Bob. I listen to his show for comic relief sometimes. When the weight of the world gets me down, I tune in to Bob Joseph on the WNBF app for a brief bit of levity.
Well, now I see what's going on, Bob. Because of her new position, you're looking for maybe a possible future favor?
I'm looking. No, I can't say what I was going to say.
No.
No.
Then I'll never be on this show again.
No, none of us will ever be on the show again.
That's true.
I was going to say something really nice, but somebody would take it the wrong way. And then, you know, next thing you know, I'm down there in D.C. apologizing profusely to both her and to her boss. And then probably winding up down at Mar-a-Lago for the weekend after, because
I did hear they're looking for a new new national archivist.
Count me in.
For me.
Okay.
I'll move up from WeGo to Washington, D.C.
Well, maybe I could be the new, you know, the Department of War needs a press secretary. Mm. I think I could handle that.
Yeah. So, but I don't know if I want to live near Washington.
No. I'm happy. I'm happy living here in the Southern
Cape. I like my little travels every day back and forth from WeGo.
Yeah. That's enough for me. Well, right. So nothing, you have nothing to talk about with history, Jesse?
Well, I do, but you keep throwing me off track. But the only thing left I can say is after everything you have said about Jeanine Pirro, you're going to have to get down and take a knee, make sure it touches the ground, and give her an apology, and then you might be in good favor.
Mm.
Mm. Now,
I'll take a picture of that.
By the way, you know this thing, this running joke with me and Jeanine Pirro, it's all in good fun because we've always had a very good professional relationship.
That's very true. Now, why I called in?
Yes, sir.
Is I hear that.
Well, I'm sorry, we're out of time.
No. Jesse ask. Go ahead, Jesse.
Nice. Okay. I hear you have a lot in store for October. So what is the February?
For the museum?
Yeah.
I seem to have scheduled all of our programming to occur in about 4 weeks on top of each other. Thank you for this. Is my lead in to our promotion. Yeah, because this Saturday we've got Shuttles and Spinners, the group out of Newark Valley, doing a demonstration of spinning wool and flax and using a loom. And then that's at 2:00. And then on the 20th, a week later at 3:00, we're having a special showing of a Twilight Zone episode called Back There, which was Rod Serling wrote an episode dealing with the Lincoln assassination. Which we'll just have that. And then on the 11th, which is what I think Jesse's referring to. First of all, our exhibits will be closing. That'll be their last day to be open. But also, we want people to join us at Evergreen Cemetery for Walk Among the Dead. It's a cemetery tour unlike most others. It's not just somebody leading you around like I often do and do cemeteries. Along the way, you meet the people who are there. And we've got 5 interesting personalities that will come out of their grave and tell you their stories. And that's going to be on the 11th. We have 3 tours, 1 at 10, 1 at noon, and 1 at 2. It's $30 a person, or for a couple, it's $50. And for additional 10, you get a copy of The Evergreen Companion by Peter Gordon. And that should be fun. But we warn people, it's rain or shine, and there's a lot of hills to go up and down in Evergreen Cemetery.
I don't know if I can do that anymore, Sir Gerald.
Well, I was intending to do it for 3 tours, and I realized I think I'll stay stationary. But that's a fun one. But they haven't done it for at least 6 years, and we've brought it back from our tradition. We've got, and on the 4th, I forgot to mention, we've got Richard Quest, former Tioga County historian, who it will be up to talk about, first of all, his book, I Held Lincoln, which is about Benjamin Loring and his participation in the assassination of Abraham Lincoln and carrying his body.
Now, this Richard Quest, this is not that guy who used to be on CNN News.
No.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
The Britishman? No, the Britishman.
Well, no, yeah, same British, name. British journalist. Same I just name. Wanted to make sure. Richard Quest,
yep.
That guy versus Richard Quest, the good guy.
Yep. And he will be up to talk about new episodes and material from the Loring family and Benjamin Loring's journals about his time in the Civil War. He'll also be talking about DNA research into the Loring jacket and whether Lincoln's blood is indeed on the sleeve of the Loring jacket. So that'll be on the 4th at 2 o'clock. So I've got something every single week almost until the middle of October. And then we will close the exhibits and get ready for O Tannenbaum, because that's rolling toward us really, really quickly.
This is going to be great. What an interesting month. I knew there was a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
Jill.
We're busy.
This is a good deal.
All right.
Dan Asker.
Keep an eye on that strawberry. If that strawberry happens to fall on a chicken, get a picture.
Well, it's not a strawberry. You know better.
Yeah,
you guys be good. Be safe.
You too, Jesse. Thank you.
There you go. Story from a week ago, making contemporary news.
Yeah.
Again, it cannot be overemphasized. Jerry and I claim to be out of ideas when it comes to history, and so now we're going to have to leave it up to viewers like you for ideas.
Because I've already got all my self-promotion out.
So you got your stuff out.
Yeah.
Then we still have more than 30 minutes to fill.
Well, we need to talk about something.
So we need the historical topics, local historical topics.
So we should give the phone number one more time.
607-772-1290.
Call now. Be caller number two.
Caller number one.
Or caller number one.
Yeah. Man, those lines. Oh.
See?
Those lines are melding down. I was going to say sarcastically. Hi, WNBF. You're on the air with Jerry Smith. Good morning. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
This is Carol from JC.
Oh, thank goodness. We were thinking that we would have no ideas and then we would have to do a song and dance till 11.
Hmm. Well, it was like the perfect storm situation, history and Jesse calling and Owego, which I'm going to tax Jerry's brain.
Uh-oh.
About Jesse Hyde from Owego.
Yeah.
And I brought this up a couple years ago, and there was never any response. Maybe Jesse from Owego, our Jesse from Owego, will admit to being related to him, but I would be proud to be related to him. But I have to tell you a Jesse Hyde story.
Okay.
When I was working at Whaley Electric, my cell phone's going off, and Bob, you notice I'm calling on my landline because you asked me that once, remember?
I do. I begged and pleaded with you to call using
no,
a good phone.
No, you didn't
phone.
Beg and plead. You said, do you call on your landline or yourself?
All right.
I said landline.
Yeah. So thank you.
I just shut it off. Okay, so. Back in, you see, there was 61, 62,
okay.
Maybe part of 63. Jesse Hyde came into the office at Whaley Electric, which was 2527 Washington Street, which is where the kids, the college students, had their dorm there.
Right.
Near the skirmisher statue. Anyway, so do you think that Jesse from Owego is related to him? But that's not why I called. I just wanted Jerry to talk about the laurels that Jesse Hyde was famous for, like running. I'm sorry. The one important thing, what he did when he walked in the door, like where the showroom was, where the electrical supplies were, he walked in this door. He walked in, and he started talking. I knew immediately who he was because he was dressed all in white, a white hat.
Well, didn't he have a tie?
No.
He had no tie.
I believe not. He was just dressed in white. He looked like a... Like the triplets trainer used to look back in the old days.
Right.
And they had one person dressed all in white. He had a white, like a golf cap on, if you know what that is, like a little brim.
Yep.
And he did one of his famous stunts, and that is he fell flat on his face, catching himself with his hands. He was not, he was quite short, so it was maybe easier for a short person to do that. And he was definitely not on the heavy side. But can you
No,
talk
they said
about...
he weighed 135 pounds. He was tiny.
Yeah.
So he weighs 15 pounds.
So he used to work at the Security Mutual building.
But my father used to weigh 135 pounds.
Well, I used to, too, for a couple days.
I never did.
Oh, so
well, maybe at once.
At one point.
I don't remember,
two.
Yeah.
Tell me all the things, because he used to walk miles and miles.
He used to walk his age. When he was 70 years old, he walked 70 miles. When he was 75, he walked 75 miles. I don't remember when he stopped. I think it was when he was approaching, was it 80? Or a little slightly higher?
That's the other thing I was wondering is I just knew of him more, maybe, you know, they stopped writing about him in the paper, in the newspaper. I just remember him being in his late 60s, and I don't recall reading any information about him after that.
Well, he slowed up the later years. He lived until, help me out, Bob, because I don't have it. I want to say he was in his 80s or...
No, he was 96. When
96, that's it. Okay.
He died.
Yes.
He died in 1987.
Yes.
He was living at Willow Point Nursing Home, and
that's
then
right.
He died. He was 96.
Yeah.
Bless him.
But he was walking into his 80s, and then he slowed up. They would have an occasional news article on him. I never had a chance of meeting him because I started at the library in 1978.
47 years ago. The reason I know that is because my daughter was born in 78.
Oh, yeah. That just, you made me feel incredibly old. Thank you. But it was 47 years ago. Wow. All right. I was only 2 years old at the time, you know, child labor. But no. I wish I could get away with that. But it's... and the news stories would come up because I know we would have people who had met him. A lot of the reporters, because even though they had already moved out to the Parkway at that time, a lot of them were still stationed downtown for news stories, so they'd come in the library. Tom Cawley came in a lot, and Dave Rossi came in frequently, John Fox. So we'd hear about these other personalities around town, and they would talk about Jesse Hyde.
Okay, so what was his destination? Like he was originally from Owego. I mean, did he always reside in Owego?
I'm not sure. I know he worked downtown.
Yeah, he worked at Security Mutual.
But his destinations every year, I think he would take a different location that he was heading toward. And then there'd be arrangement. I mean, he'd go that. I think he'd be driven back or something. But it's. He used to, as you said, he used to run, too. I don't know when he ran a lot when he was much younger. I don't know when the walking stage started. But I know by the 60s, when I was younger, I was aware of him because every year it appeared in the newspaper.
Did he have a family, do you know?
Yeah. Everybody
wife
does.
And children is what I'm talking, referring to, I guess.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm not going to mention it.
That's okay.
HIPAA. Privacy.
Yeah. Yes.
Did you ever hear something called privacy?
Yeah.
Well, it's not that I want to know who they are. I was just wondering if he...
All I knew him is through the newspaper articles.
Yes.
But
it was kind of, it was like a little special treat to read about him.
Yeah. Sure. It says in the paper he was our most famous walker.
Yep.
Said there were many walkers in the Binghamton area, but he was the most famous.
What is the date of the paper
This article is from 1977. It's got pictures of him. He was 72 on his 72nd birthday. He was seen running through the streets of Binghamton.
Yep.
About 2 minutes after some bank got robbed.
So what is his actual birth date?
Well, if it's 1977, 72...
I'd say 1905.
Yeah.
Okay, so he was 5 years older than my father.
Or something. I don't know. It was earlier. I don't know. It was earlier. But bottom line is, he liked to walk.
Yeah.
And he served as an inspiration to many.
Yep.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
All right.
And he was, that's great.
He was one of a kind.
Yep.
Yes, he was.
He's what I would call, I might start a new series, Carol, on WNBF.com. I'm going to call it Binghamton Characters. I'm going to do it as soon as I finally get around to writing that story about what's-his-face from the first ward that we talked about last month.
Masti Huba.
Because I still haven't written that. But he was a character. Jesse Hyde was a character.
Yeah.
So those are two characters. As soon as I start writing the series.
They were the people everybody knew about and just brought a little humanity to our community.
Special. The people who made our area special. Thank you, Carol. Go.
Thank you.
See? It wasn't so hard.
Well, look at that.
But sadly, more people are calling. But sadly, do you realize that I can't go and say, I need support from listeners like you. Instead, I need to take a break here to get support from sponsors like these.
Yeah.
See, that's how it works.
Let's do it.
On the other hand, if you'd like to send your donation, it's not tax-free. And
No. I'll give you my home address.
Send
post office box in Bayou, New Jersey.
$10 to Gerald Smith and $10 to Bob Joseph.
There you go.
Thank you. Listeners like you.
Let's have some commercials.
Yes, and then we will return. Oh, should give the phone number again.
607-772-1290.
Because we're totally out of ideas.
Out of ideas, yeah.
Stay tuned. I feel a listener is going to call in an idea in just a moment.
There's an old story.
It is 1040 WNBF Binghamton. We are very honored to have Gerald Smith in the studio.
I'm here.
Let's take more calls from the viewers.
Let's do that.
John from Binghamton, you're on the air.
Boy, every time during the month, I have questions that I want to ask you guys on this, and then they sort of dissipate.
Happens. Yeah.
Gonna have to keep a notebook.
Good idea, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of healthcare, my recollection of the hospitals is that Wilson was an EJ owned hospital.
It was the EJ Hospital, wasn't it? Over on 305 Clinton Street, Jerry.
There was an EJ Hospital. Yeah, that was their maternity hospital over there.
Oh yeah. Oh baby.
Yeah, lots of babies, yeah.
And that the Binghamton General Hospital was a city-owned hospital.
Yeah, city hospital.
Yep.
Now, how did, and as I understand it, too, I'm no expert, that the hospitals are still community-owned. Could you go, I'll hang up, could you go over, which is always a good thing, could you go over the how this all came to be with United Health Services and?
Because there was also Ideal Hospital in Endicott, so Ideal and Wilson, say like in the '80s, because I vaguely remember a lot of community meetings going on and around that time, I'd say a little over four, maybe four and a half decades ago, that sort of led ultimately to the creation of UHS. Thanks for your call. It's a good question.
Good question.
So, Jerry, how did that all
happen?
Right.
Started out as City Hospital, and then it became Binghamton General Hospital, was city operated. the Wilson Memorial Hospital and Ideal Hospital were Endicott Johnson sponsored. And starting when EJ sort of divested itself of its benefit programs, the parks, the libraries, and such, starting in around 68, they wanted to divest themselves out of the healthcare business, even though they still had a huge healthcare program for the Endicott Johnson workers and their dependents. As well as the fact that by the time you get to the 1980s, the talk started in the late 60s through the 70s into the 80s, the baby boomer period was ending, and the number of people was beginning to decline. So there was a healthcare consortium in New York State that helped hospitals develop how many rooms were actually needed for the ill. That one hospital shouldn't have 3,000 rooms and the other one has 20 rooms. So it was regulated. And with the insurance changes and private insurance coverage, they agreed to merge forces. The city didn't want to run the hospital necessarily anymore. EJ couldn't run EJ and Ideal anymore. So they created United Health Services was formed. And that was to operate the three hospitals. Eventually, they reformed what Ideal was for a long-term health care facility.
Right. Turned it into Ideal Senior Living Center.
They didn't need three full hospitals. With the addition of Lourdes on the south side as a outside hospital. So that's how United Health Services, and of course, it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Now, they, as Bob mentioned, they divested themselves of Ideal. They closed the old EJ Hospital on Clinton Street and some of its the two medical buildings, one in John City, one in the Village of Endicott, so that they could consolidate their needs. And of course, it's around that time in the late 60s, for example, Wilson adds the towers. That was going to be the modern effort to that effort. And then, of course, now they've added and added and added.
Mm. Yeah, the main tower.
The main building, yeah, which is huge. Compared, you know, and it's so that's how United Health Services started. It started as a health consortium to regulate and to modernize our health care services in the community.
It appears that it all began in February 1981. For some reason, the story about the beginning of the new corporation called United Health Services, for some reason, the evening press didn't put that on the front page. They put it on page 4A.
Whoa, okay.
In a small story, a story that consists of about four paragraphs. For some reason, you would think it would be a huge front page story, but I guess there must have been something else going on that week. It says, hospital title transfers at City Hall ceremony. Officials from the City of Binghamton, Binghamton General Hospital, and Ideal Wilson Medical mm-hmm. Center signed the agreement today to consolidate the two hospitals. The agreement transfers the title of Binghamton General from the city to a new corporation called United Health Services.
Okay.
So that's February 1981.
And it took years. It was years of negotiations before that.
By the way, also right below that, speaking of ripped from the headlines, Heart Fund raises $21,000. The annual Twin Tier Heart Radiothon raised $21,000 for the American Heart Association. Don Daniels of WNBF yeah. was the host of the 32-hour marathon. That's back when radio people were willing yeah. to do 32-hour shows.
Yeah, and marathons on TV, telethons yep. and such.
Glad that's over.
Well, we might bring it back.
No.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Never.
82 hours straight.
Yeah. No. AI.
Yeah.
No. AI, that's the okay. good thing about AI. AI will host the next radiothon here at WNBF for 1,000 hours.
Mm.
And we can
raise $1,000.
We all the live people from the station can go on a junket to Hawaii.
Ooh.
And then come back. We just shut it off. We shut it off when we finally get back. Let's take another call.
Please.
Bob in Steinko Forks, you're on the air.
Hey, get off the subject, but I did meet Jess Hyde when I was a kid. He was walking up Shenango Street where I lived. But the subject I want to talk about was old, like, butcher shops in Binghamton.
Oh yeah, we meant to talk about that. I think last time we were on, we were going to talk about it, but we forgot.
I ran across this old phone index thing I have, and it was by Homemade Brands Meat Products.
Okay. Oh, I remember that. H-O-M-A-D-E.
Yeah.
Like homemade, not home okay. made, but like homemade. H-O-M-A-D-E.
M-A-I-D.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. And where was it located?
I have no idea.
Okay.
but some of the other company that remembers, my brother-in-law was a butcher years ago. He worked for a company called E.B. Gales. Which I think maybe off Clinton Street.
Okay.
But there was, you know, the old Armor Meat Company on Lewis Street.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, because I remember that building, because you could still see the ads on the side of it. You're right.
There was a place called Panda Foods.
Hmm.
There was a lot of money. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, cool. All right. Well, maybe next month we'll focus on meat.
Yeah. But like I said, there's a lot of, you know, good butcher shops which
yeah.
are gone.
Right. Yeah, true.
And things like that.
Yeah,
you know?
It's kind of a fine art that's left our community.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll come back.
I don't know.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
And it turns out, according to the newspaper, it was at 158 Clinton Street. It
okay.
says in the newspaper, in 1975, there was an ad for an auction. It said, we're going to demolish the building.
Okay.
And so all the meat packing equipment and some leftover bologna is up for auction, and then they tore down the building.
Okay.
So There all you right. go. There you go. So that's that was the homemade brands where meat was king.
Oh.
You know, and then I don't know if it was PETA or somebody must have gotten to them and said, hey, enough, enough of you meat lovers.
There was a large one out on Route 26, which is now used by the
Freers.
Yes, thank you.
They used to have big ads in the Sunday paper.
There was a cow out front. Yeah.
Yeah, they had a big cow.
Yeah.
And I always always worried that that big cow up there on Route 26 would get in trouble with the big bull out on Guido's restaurant on the parkway.
Yes.
And then, you know,
the Vestal Steakhouse.
Yes. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
We sounds like a nut. By the way, it sounds like either
a story out in Tennessee County.
Oh no!
Except I don't think that was a fiberglass one.
Probably not.
No, I remember Freers.
I'm going to call the sheriff. He'll talk with me.
Well, yeah,
of course he will.
Get the facts.
I will. Just the facts. All right, more coming up. Don't touch that dial.
Old my Wi-Fi.
Oh, I used to go to the store and get some every week. No. Sorry.
All right.
Anyway, yes, I remember fracking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't want to stir up more trouble.
No.
Not yet.
No, we've got at least 4 or 5 minutes left.
Actually, we don't even have that much.
Okay.
We've just managed to blow through the time. I see there was a story here at the paper in 74, and there was some kind of a fire down at the Homemade Brands meat plant.
So your steaks were well done?
Too well done. Okay. Yeah. And it says... The meat products plant sustained smoke damage throughout its three-story brick frame, but actual fire damage was confined to a storage room. But it doesn't say here if it was enough to put the place out of business, because, again, it wasn't too long after that that there was that auction where they're getting rid of all their meat stuff.
Equipment. So.
But who knows? I mean,
so for next program, we can talk about butcher shops.
We could.
And we'd be a cut above the rest.
Well, did they ever invent, aside from Speedy's in this area, did they ever invent anything good? I mean, meat-wise.
Of course,
we've invented lots of good stuff. I'm talking about...
Computers.
Yeah. We had the washing machines there in the first world.
Flight simulators.
Yeah. No. But, okay, Speedy's. We must have invented... We didn't do Spam.
No, please. No. Thank you.
All right.
That just brought back memories of my childhood that need to stay
Well,
back
you're
there.
Lucky. At least you had Spam.
We had
All we got was liverwurst.
Oh.
So there.
Well, we had liver, too.
Yeah. We were bad kids. Anyway, we're plumb out of time.
Thank you. Thank God.
Thanks. See you in October.
Yeah, I'll be back.
Whatever month that is. WMBF Live. Joining us now in the studio is Maggie Henry with some information about a special event that'll be coming up here in Broome County in just a few weeks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our station.
Hello.
So tell us a little bit about what'll be happening at Otsenango Park on October 5th.
So we have the Out of the Darkness Walk for Suicide Prevention held there every year to raise awareness for suicide prevention.
And this has been going on now here in Broome County for several years, and it's one of several events, many events, that are being held across the country.
Yep. They go all over the country. Right here in New York State, we have our local chapter, the GCNY chapter, that spearheads, you know, different walks in our area, Ithaca, Oneonta, I know, is this week, and we had Ithaca last week, so they are all over and throughout the whole month.
Tell our listeners a bit about the organization and its mission.
So our mission is to raise awareness for suicide prevention. We are a volunteer-based organization, and we always, our biggest thing is to raise awareness for suicide prevention. We have resources where we go into schools and teach programs about how to safely talk about emotions and help kids understand that it's okay to feel their feelings and okay to reach out for help.
It's such an important topic, and yet it's one of the things that it occurs to me we don't talk that much about. Even on this program, for all the years we've been on, we have addressed the issue of suicide very, very rarely. And it's, I think, not because lack of caring, it's just because for a lot of us, it feels that we don't know how to approach it, we don't know what to say. And I think in many cases, probably many of us have been unfortunately touched by this, and even say years later, you're never fully at peace with something that's happened.
Correct. Yeah, there's so much stigma around it. Nobody ever seems to want to talk about it, and that's really what we're trying to avoid and try to prevent. Teaching people how to communicate about it is huge, and having that safe conversation with everybody around them to know that it's okay, and if we don't talk about it, we can't prevent it. So that's our biggest focus.
So the event that'll be coming up October 5th, tell us a little bit about what people can expect.
So at 9 o'clock, our registration opens, and then our opening ceremony kicks off at 10:30. We have what's called our bead ceremony, which is one of my favorite things to do. It's an unspoken bond between everybody who comes that says you're not alone. What it is everybody has a bead that symbolizes their connection to the cause. And by looking around, you can see, oh, well, this person has the same similar story to mine. And you just kind of feel that sense of community that we all desperately need.
So at times, does this become somewhat emotional?
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a lot of emotions, but it's a lot of healing. I know when I got to my first walk, I left changed. It definitely moved me, and I knew I wanted to be more involved right away. I found my community and realized, because I have my own past experiences, that I needed that community sense and able to talk to somebody who understood what I was going through.
So to be able to find someone who has some real empathy, mm-hmm. and perhaps some understanding of the challenges that each of us face, because every situation's unique, and yet
right.
there are still some similarities, especially as far as trying to process loss.
Oh yeah, and we all are at different stages of our grieving and in our life, really. You know, my story might be similar to yours, but I'm openly able to talk about it. So we're not always at the same point, but at our walks, we kind of all come together and know that it's a safe place for us to be able to talk about it.
Is this walk, this event that'll be coming up in early October at Otsenango Park, is this something that is designed for participants of all ages?
Oh yeah, we have kids come, we have activities for them, we have people who can't even quite walk with us, but they come to support us, and they, you know, are there in spirit walking with us, because it's not necessarily like a race, it's more of a leisure walk. We walk around the park at Otsenango at your own pace, and if you are able to join us, you don't have to walk with us, you can just be there and still support the cause. It's extremely important, I think, for everybody to come, because we all have been touched by suicide, like you were saying. It's unfortunate, but hopefully we can get through it together.
How many people do you think will participate in this year's event?
Right now, we have about 180 people signed up. I'm hoping to hit at least 300, and we have about a month for this walk, so I'm hoping that we can get the word out and get more people to register. You can make your own team. You can join a team if you want to. You can raise funds to help us get the resources that we need into the community to help educate the public of, I don't know, how to prevent suicide.
If people want to register, or perhaps if they want more information about the walk, what can they do?
They can go to the website. It's afsp.org/Broome County. And there's all the information there. You can sign up. You can see everything that we're about, and our top teams, our sponsors, and everything's right on the website.
And again, that's afsp.org. The organization is called American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And when this topic comes up, I think it's always important to emphasize to people that help is available.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I know people find it difficult to reach out at a time when they're suffering. They may mm-hmm. be suffering silently, but they can ask for help. And these days, especially with the establishment of the national hotline,
mm-hmm.
the 988 number, it's easier now than ever for people across
oh, yeah.
the country to take that first step if they feel that they need help and need someone to get them through a mm-hmm. tough period.
We advocated for 988, and we keep pushing it through our government systems because it's so important to have that quick little number. Just as much as we need 911 for any kind of emergency, we need 988 for any kind of mental emergency.
All right. Well, I wish you the best for this year's walk. Again, it'll be taking place on Sunday, October 5th at Otsenango Park in the town of Dickinson, just outside Binghamton. And if you'd like more information about either the organization or the event, you can go to afsp.org and just put in the location for Binghamton, and all the information's there.
Yeah.
Maggie Henry, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Glad that you could be with us today. Hope you have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
It's 11:18. I'm Bob Joseph. I'm going to open up the phone lines now if you have things you'd like to talk about. Love to hear from you. Our number is 607-772-1290. Again, 607-772-1290 to talk on WNBF Live. I'm Bob Joseph, 1122. It's looking like a really beautiful week. Like beautiful weather, sunny today, high 70, clear tonight, low 40. There will be some patchy fog tomorrow morning, then sunny, a bit warmer, high 76. And Wednesday, sunny and 77. Right now it's 59 here in downtown Binghamton at WNBF. Remember, if you want to know what's going on in the world of news, a really good source is WNBF.com. So if you want to see some original reporting, some stories you may not see anywhere else, check it out, WNBF.com. And, of course, you can listen to our stories on the air, AM, FM, on the app, WNBF app, powered by the Galt Auto Team. Hey, no matter how you stay connected, we're here for you at WNBF. Now, hesitant to bring it up because all he wants, of course, is publicity. So I won't even mention his name. So there's a guy, and he has been in the radio business for a long time. And every few years when his contract is up, he likes to get attention. Well, so he tried to get attention this morning by doing this hoax, saying that he wasn't, he had like one of his flunkies say, well, the show was over, so the whole thing was just a hoax, because he had his buddy say, oh, the guy ain't coming back. The guy is gone. And so it turns out it was all just a standard hoax on the part of a guy who thinks he's the king of something, and whatever. You know, it's, I think his act right now is tired. On the other hand, even though his act is sort of tired with his antics and, you know, his humor that's probably more appropriate for 8-year-old boys, he has managed over the years to parlay that brand of humor, as well as long hair, into massive piles of money. So, you know, he's doing something right, even if it seems kind of wrong. So he does a prank. I'm not going to be on the satellite anymore. And he apparently all summer was stringing along his fans like, oh, I've got a big announcement coming. It's an announcement and it's going to be big. And so, you know, they wound up having news stories this morning saying, oh, you know, he's gone. Long live the king. And then he comes on a short time later to say that, well, you've basically been duped by another hoax. So anyway, let's say it worked. If he wanted attention on this program, he managed to get it, didn't he? What else is going on here? Oh, we're still waiting to see about Kathy Hochul. I want to see how she finesses this, because I think ultimately they're going to expect that she will make some kind of endorsement for the New York City mayor's race. I think that's the expectation. That is probably what everybody thinks is going to happen. So I would guess that she'll wind up endorsing Andrew Cuomo for New York City mayor, right? She doesn't want to endorse the Democratic candidate because, well, just because she's afraid. Which is going to be odd after the Democratic candidate wins, and she went and endorsed Andrew Cuomo with all his baggage. So it's fascinating. It's fascinating and also kind of sad what goes on in New York politics. But I guess she'll do what she thinks is politically expedient. That's what she always does. It's 11:26. Let's go to the phones and see who's on the line. Hi, you're on the air. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, good morning, Bob. It's Dave from Vessel.
Didn't you have a good weekend? What was so bad about the weekend?
I didn't say anything was bad about the weekend, Bob.
Oh, okay. The tone of voice, you sounded a little depressed. No, it was fine.
Oh, it's Monday morning, and you gave us no more warning on what was to be.
Well, there you go.
I heard that today.
That's true. Thank you for listening to that. That's a pretty accurate recollection of what I said.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Bob, you know, I was listening to you do the news, and boy, I was laughing real hard when you said that Mankami is the future of the Democratic Party.
I didn't say it.
You said that.
I didn't say it.
No,
that's quoting Bernie Sanders. I mean, I read a story from AP, and that's what Bernie Sanders, he says, Mamdani is the future of the Democratic Party. I think he's right.
No, you don't think that, Bob. No. I give you a lot more credit than that. You're just saying
that I said it. I'm saying I know Bernie Sanders, and he's no Democrat. He quit. He's no longer a Democrat. So think about this. It's Bernie Sanders, who no longer is a Democrat, talking about the future of the Democratic Party. So I think there's some sort of delicious irony in a guy who now is officially an independent talking about the future of the party that he once was part of.
Right. And this is coming from a guy who honeymooned in Moscow. When he got married.
What do you mean? What's wrong with that? You got a problem? What difference does it make where you go on your honeymoon? Seriously, laugh.
Nobody honeymoons in Moscow. Come on.
Well, somebody did.
Yeah, Bernie did.
So? Why not? Yeah. Why not? See? What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that.
No, okay. Well, one commie back in another.
No.
That's what's going on.
It's nothing to do. I know people, they went to Cuba, and they're not fans of the Cuban government. They went to Cuba because it was interesting. I would go to Russia.
Yeah, but for your honeymoon?
Well, gosh, I hope not.
Sure, I'd go.
No, I want to go to Russia just as a tourist. I don't want to go for a honeymoon. Come on, man.
That's my point. I mean, who honeymoons there?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Why is that even an issue?
Well, because
when people are running for office, are they supposed to disclose where they honeymooned? What difference does that make at this point?
I don't know, Hill.
Absolutely no difference. Who cares if he honeymooned in Russia or Rochester?
Well, Rochester would have been better.
Not really. Rochester, the home of failing Kodak, the home of failing Gannett? Come on, man.
Yeah, but less communist there.
No. How do you know that? Have you ever been to Rochester?
Oh, plenty of times, Bob. Boy.
And think about this. Their hometown paper is called the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. I rest my case.
Mm-hmm. Bob, but
why don't they have the Rochester Republican and Chronicle, huh?
Yes.
See?
Good question.
All right.
But the best time I had in Rochester, Bob, I went to see Deep Purple and Blackfoot, and that was good.
Well, okay, mm-hmm. But, you know, you could have seen them perform in Russia, too, probably. I'm kidding. Hey. I'm kidding. Anyway, okay. So what about this thing with Pete Hegseg?
What do you mean? What thing? Did I miss something?
I don't know. I always like just bringing that up because you know he's done something.
What, the Department of War?
That's what I mean.
Came up with, you mean?
Yeah, what about that? So you put this guy who used to be on Fox Channel, the channel that where Janine had been working, and now he's supposed to be in charge of our wars? Doesn't. By the way, that means people like, what's his name, Putin in Russia, and who's the guy running North Korea? They must be laughing. We've got Pete Hegseth now. He's in charge of our wars. I mean, that's, talk about giving comfort to the enemy.
Did you realize that it used to be the Department of War?
Yeah, I'm familiar with history. They don't give these shows to chimps.
Bob, hey, you're funny today, man. Hey, yeah, but you know what? They could, as long as they're going to have a Department of War, we could still have a Department of Defense. That's the people taking care of defense down at the border. We'll call it that.
Hey, don't need it anymore. Nobody wants to come to the U.S. anymore. They could take down the whole darn fence, and nobody would want to come in.
Bob, if you're looking for a leader of the Democratic Party, and this guy's an up-and-rising star, Anthony Weiner, that's who I choose.
Yeah, so would Oscar Mayer.
No, seriously. But
I'm serious. Get
guy.
To the point. If you're going to talk about him, get to the point.
Well, he's a stand-up guy. I think he'd be good for the party.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's hard to believe. All right. Well, thanks. Okay. Thanks certainly for an inspirational call. It's 11:33 at WNBF. Let's try to move on after that interesting 3.5 minutes of broadcast witticism. Hi, you're on the air. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Bob. It's Ron from the West Side.
Oh, thank goodness. How'd you like the NFL Corporation yesterday? The Bills pulled it out. Buffalo Bills, America's team, winning when everybody gave up.
Yeah, that you know, I mean, Josh Allen is a phenomenon. And, you know, I hate to say this in front of the massive amount of Buffalo Bills fans we probably have here and in Western New York. But, you know, the Bills won. But being objective, the Baltimore team is the better team. And
doesn't matter to me. I you may be right. It doesn't make any difference to me. The Bills won.
Yeah. Yeah.
42 to 41. Doesn't matter who's the better team. All that matters is who wins.
Oh, no, I realized that. I was just making that general. No,
I know what you were doing. You're trying to stir things up, and I admire that. That's why live radio is so interesting.
Well, I did have a point. I listened to Dave. I just got in my house, but I was in the car listening to Dave. And a couple of things came to mind. As far as Bernie Sanders honeymooning in Moscow, I have a thought on that. Now, I don't know. You may tell me if my speculation is good or not. I don't want it to sound any salacious or anything, but maybe he honeymooned in Moscow because on his honeymoon, he wanted to be secretly filmed and recorded.
Well, that's true. If he's an American citizen, you can bet he was being secretly recorded. Sure, that's what they do.
And he knew that, and maybe Bernie's more kinky than we think.
All right, you would have to go there. It was fine the way you handled it there. Now we're going to have a lawsuit on our hands, and I'm going to have to interview Bernie Sanders here in the studio as part of the settlement.
Oh, no.
So in other words, thank you. Well, Bob, as part of a settlement, do you agree to interview Senator Sanders for 3 hours next Monday? Of course. Where do I sign? Anyway, no, you don't have to agree with Bernie Sanders to also acknowledge he is truly an American treasure.
Oh, he certainly is. Now, can I bring up a serious subject?
I wish you would.
Okay. Yesterday, the football season, well, actually, it started, I guess, on Thursday, but You know, the first Sunday of the year, NFL started yesterday. And, you know, of course, you know, I have been involved in talking about chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, and the guys that are playing yesterday, hey, they're all over 21 and they can knock their heads about or whatever. But I have a kind of difficult thing to mention. You know, I have been, besides talking on the radio about CTE, have been warning people about keeping their kids out of football when they're young. Terrible time to put your kids in football when they're 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. Now, I have preached this, including to family, as you might imagine. And, you know, it reminded me of what would you get if you sat down someone in your family or a friend or an acquaintance or whatever, and you tried to talk them out of practicing their religion. I mean, it's almost a horrible thought. Who would do such a thing to talk people out of their religion? And of course, we know football is a religion. I have relatives who live in the South, and of course, in the South, even more than in the North, football is religion. I have a grand nephew who is all of 10 years old, who I just learned is playing tackle football at the age of 10. I figured if I, with all I've offered to them in terms of knowledge, could not convince people who know that I'm interested in my grandnephew, if I couldn't convince them to keep their kid out of football, what are the chances education of CTE is going to keep any large number of kids out of this religion? That's my thought.
Yeah, that's a compelling thought. I appreciate your sharing that, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to get that out.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's important. It's 11:38 at WNBF. Do enjoy when people talk about serious subjects and some things that are frivolous and a lot of stuff in between. Hey, we're here for it all. There aren't a whole lot of restrictions. There's some constraints on the program. Of course there are. Have to be some constraints. Otherwise, what would we do with the internet? If a talk show turned out to be freewheeling and totally unrestrained, then they'd have to shut down the whole internet because the internet wouldn't have any point to exist. At least on radio, you have some semblance of normal at times. 607-772-1290. This is Bob Joseph with you. If you haven't called yet, what are you waiting for? Call me. Love to talk to you. WNBF Live. It's 11:44. Oh, good. Tioga County is on the line. We go. Jesse, what's up?
Man, oh, man, you're really going back in Iraq, huh? How far back does that go?
1941.
Yeah, right. Okay. I got you. No, that was good. I understand where Ron's coming from. I found it very intriguing and interesting, but I have to disagree because the only thing that sports do is teaches you a form of competition. That's all it's about. It's not a religion whatsoever. We compete in every way, shape, and form in everything that we do. And you know that, especially in the radio business. I mean, that can be a cutthroat business, which I've had the personal experiences. But yeah, there's no religion in any of that whatsoever. Sports, when you're in school and you're growing up, you're learning how to compete very early. And what it's trying to do is
make you to be stronger, because this world can highly be against you. So you got to learn to toughen up, Buttercup, and that's what it really is. But there's no religion involved in it whatsoever. So, Ron, I appreciate your comments. That really made me think.
Well, I thought it was more about the money. It's all about the money. That's why they had the sports.
Well, we never got paid money back then.
No, I'm not talking about kids playing sports. I'm saying sports in general, like the National Football Corporation and sports like that, the American Baseball Corporation, the American Hockey Corporation, whatever, you know, big sports, not sports like the sports that kids play here in Binghamton or Owego. Talking about big sports, that's only about the money.
Well, if you so choose to do so, I understand that. I'd rather be in the stock market. But, you know, everyone to each their own. It's all good. If you want,
no, it's great. No, it's not all good. It's best when it's about the money. Look at have you ever seen anybody from the National Football Corporation? Do you ever see them sad, looking down in the dumps? They're not, because they have lots of money. They have huge stacks of money. They're billionaires, and that's why we have sports. That's why we play the games. So that we could sell product.
I love the game in itself, regardless of what sport it is. But you got to remember one thing about money, Bob. You can't take it with you, my brother.
I know, but fortunately now we have sports betting.
Well, I'm not going to partake into it.
Thank you. Okay. I was kidding, by the way. Okay. You know what? I think there's going to be a lot of scandals surrounding the sports betting. I heard that they're even betting now on the Little League World Series. Can you believe that?
That would not surprise me whatsoever. Well, you heard Kim Camano this morning talking about all the scams.
I heard her. I heard her right here on WNBF First News. And exactly. And so it's, I'll tell you what, parenthetically or confidentially, Jesse, I think it's going to get worse.
Well, of course it is.
Okay.
I mean, you got to keep... Yep.
Okay. Thank you for agreeing. I appreciate your call.
Take it kindly.
1148 WNBF. Good morning. You're on the air. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, good morning, Bob. This is DJ from Binghamton. How are you doing today?
Oh, great. What's up?
I want to comment about what I just heard Jesse and the other caller say. You know, I was coming home from India, and I preached for 5 weeks in India, and I heard, what is the number one religion? I'm like, you know, Lord. He said, secular humanism, the love and worship and adoration of self. So there are religions people don't even realize they're into, you know. You ever hear somebody say, my kids come before anything or any... Oh. First of all, they're not kids. They're not baby goats. But anyway, how was your weekend, man?
Oh, simply fantastic.
Oh, yeah? You have a nice time. I had a great time.
Yeah.
Beautiful out today. Oh, sunny.
Yeah, I know. That's why they call it sunny Binghamton.
Well, actually, I got two million more signatures to get on my petition until we can change the name to sunny Binghamton, because I don't think some folks are having it.
Sunny Binghamton and DOT will agree to it. I appreciate your call. We've got more calls coming up. A few minutes remaining, but still time for you to get in if you want. The getting's good at 607-772-1290. Bob Joseph, WNBF Live. 1153. Let's get some more calls in. Martin from the First Ward, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, I'm looking through my Google every day. It's, you know, find things interesting. See that Tom Shipley died, 84 years old, of Brewer and Shipley. And who wrote the famous song, part of it came out of our lexicon, One Took Over the Line. And that song became chased by Nixon and Spiro Agnew. And the story goes that he was playing in Kansas City, and a guy gave him a joint and told him, just take two hits, because it's really strong stuff and stuff. And back then in the early 70s, the weed wasn't that freaking good. So he continued on and he smoked more. And then he realized, geez, one took over the line. And so they did a concert at Carnegie Hall and they were out of material. And then they sang that song And their manager heard it, and other people heard it, says, you got to record this. And then they did, and then the rest is history. I mean, you know, like I said, shortly after it was released, Nixon went after him, Agnew went after him about the drugs. And the point is that, you know, it's part of our lexicon, because that was it during the 70s right. and 80s.
Well, that's why we have a weed store in downtown Binghamton, ultimately.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's how it started, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call. I'm going to get to a couple other callers. Hope you have a good afternoon.
Yeah, a little incidental thing.
Yeah, it's good to know. It's where it began, kids. If you want to know why we're a nation selling weed. Rich, also from the first word, you're on the air. Ah, we lost Rich. Matt from the West Side, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. What's up?
Can you imagine being somebody who had to wait in line for like almost 2 hours yesterday to get into the U.S. Tennis Center because Donald Trump decided to go? And then, you know, it's just somebody should have I hope somebody's keeping track of how much this guy disrupts people's lives, doesn't take anything into consideration. He barely watched any of the tournament.
Well, the bad thing about it is, remember, he's the one who left Queens. He grew up in Queens, and at least Andrew Cuomo never slithered out of New York State and went to Florida. Say what you will about Cuomo, who grew up in Queens. He has stayed, as far as I know, Andrew Cuomo stayed all his life in New York State. I'm not saying that he's the best, but at least he's a New Yorker, unlike the guy who left New York to go to Florida and then comes back to Queens to cause trouble for people.
Yeah, and the thing is, if I was at the tennis center yesterday and knew he was going to be there, my T-shirt would have said, President returns to the scene of the crime, because that's where, you know, the whole reason he met Roy Cohen and became who he was and decided to lie about everything, to sue everybody, was because of Roy Cohen, and that was all because of what happened, how they kept redlining all his apartments him and his father owned in Queens and wouldn't let minorities live in there. And that's how he went to, they thought they were done, and then he went to see Roy Cohen, and Roy Cohen said, sue him, never admit you're wrong, and lie like hell. Basically, those are the three things he said to taught him what to do, and, he's done all of them.
And now look at him. Roy Cohn's not around to see his masterpiece, what happened. He's finally become the one person in U.S. history who is completely above the law. Appreciate your call. Let's see if we could squeeze in another call here. Time is of the essence. Good morning. You're on the air. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, my name is Bob from Endicott.
Yeah, what's up?
Hello?
Yeah, what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say one thing about the last caller. I've never heard such a petty thing to talk about.
Who cares what you think about the last caller? Don't you have some issue to talk about? I don't need critiques of callers. I need talk about the issues. Come on, man.
Child bitch.
Hey, all I want is for people to talk about the issues. If you have something good to say about the guy, say it. Otherwise, he shouldn't be causing trouble for tennis fans.
How asinine you are.
Well, I don't care. You know, I'm not looking for a critique of me. All I know is it's the best show that WNBF has ever put on, and it allows people like you to talk about the issues. But if you want to critique the host or other callers, you're going to have to wait till afternoon and call them.
I'm just saying that.
I'm just saying. No, listen to me clearly. Don't call this show and critique me or any of the other callers. We're talking about issues. If you want to critique callers on this show, you wait till afternoon and call him.
But you can.
Hey, I want you to talk about the issues. What part of talking about the issues don't you understand?
An issue.
Don't ask me. It's clear to me you don't want to talk about the issues. So that's it. You're gone. But thanks for calling. I appreciate it. No, The only thing I want on the show is for people to focus on the issues. If you have critiques or complaints about other callers or about the host, wait until afternoon and call those shows. They've got more time to deal with people and their petty complaints. This is the issue-oriented show. So if you have issues to talk about, you call in tomorrow. Otherwise, call in to the other fine shows. I'm Bob Joseph.
News, talk, and information for Binghamton and Central New York. This is News Radio, WNBF, Binghamton, a Town Square media station.